Hey everyone, welcome to the Period Party. I'm Nicole.
Hi everybody, I'm Nat.
And on this episode, we're talking to Dr. Mark Sklar, the fertility expert, and we're talking all about how having a fertility plan can get you pregnant faster. Mark is a doctor of acupuncture and the co-author of the book Secret to Conception, and he's been helping couples conceive and have healthy babies for over 15 years. Welcome to the show, Mark. We're really happy to have you.
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here and to be with both of you lovely ladies, even though I can't see you.
Oh, we like
Thank you. We like you. I know, right? He's so nice.
Very good. Let's jump straight in, Mark. Obviously, you're a man after my own heart. You know, we share the same craft, both acupuncturists and love the use of herbal medicines in our clinic. For your patients and in your experience, how important do you find it for patients to have some type of plan, in terms of mapping out their health and then using that as a tool for conception?
Yeah, you know, I think the easiest way I like to explain this is whenever I have a health issue, you know, I'm the worst person to treat myself. Right? I will think that I have everything under the sun. I mean, maybe if I've got a cold, it's pretty straightforward, but you know, anything more serious, you know, I'm gonna look at myself and say, okay, I've got that. And I'm gonna associate myself and relate to almost anything I read. I can find for sure blogs and videos that I can relate to and say, oh yes, I've got it. And I start shopping and putting everything into my shopping bag. And then I would be the person that comes into my office with a shopping bag of supplements and says, so this is everything I'm taking. You know, what do you think? And that's when I look at them and then say, so who prescribed all of this? And they'll say, well, I did, you know, by reading everything online. And then I would be the one, and then I would say to them, well, okay, so why are you taking this and why are you taking that? And we're like, well, I heard it was good for this and I heard it was good for that, right? And that's not really having a plan. That's basically throwing the kitchen sink and then the entire health food store at your problem, or in this case, you know, your fertility. And yes, have there been couples who have gotten pregnant that way? Absolutely. But does that make it right? Does that make it the best and most efficient way to approach any health issue? And you know, the answer is no. And so just like myself, if I've got any issues, I'm going to go see somebody else who can really look at things objectively and see clearly and help me make a plan so that I can get the results I want in, you know, an efficient and effective manner. And that's really the benefit of what I see of having a fertility plan is.
I couldn't agree more. The amount of times that I have a patient that comes in and has self-diagnosed, and then the hard part of that is you've got to educate them into why that is wrong. And they've got this belief all of a sudden that, no, this is me and I've got this and I've got that. And you're like, well, actually, no, I don't think you do.
Right.
I think I'd be okay with that too. Oh my gosh. I've had
terrible.
So many women come to me and then they end up with these supplement graveyards in their kitchen cabinets.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you actually don't need to be taking all this stuff. And I agree though. Like you said, in the beginning, you get so in your head about this and you're convinced you've got it all and you got to treat it all. Right. So of course there's so much information out there now. It's so overwhelming for people.
Absolutely. And I mean, I hate wasting supplements for myself and for everybody else because it costs everybody money.
Yes. Right. I will actually be that person that goes in and says, okay, what have you got? And I need to work out how we're going to use it and when we're going to use it, if we can, because I love the term supplement graveyard, Nicole. That's hilarious.
It's a good one.
It is a gripe of mine. It's like, because I've got one too. Don't get me wrong.
Me too.
But I just, I think it's really important, and I'm sure we all agree, is that I want to use the least amount possible to get the most profound results. And I find that less is more most
Absolutely.
Of the time.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. That's exactly what it is, right? I mean, sometimes you get so overburdened by all of these things that you've got to clean the decks. You've got to start fresh and kind of take a step back and see what you have, hopefully using some of the supplements they already have, right? And then be able to move forward with what makes sense. So,
But more is not better in most instances. And it's more for the body to cope with. And I'm sure you'd agree, you know, it's very much a Chinese medicine stance, I guess, is that we treat the problem at hand, but less, you know, the less the body has to deal with in any moment, the more it's actually able to then move forward. Whereas if we bombard it and try and treat 16 things at once, it's overwhelmed.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, I don't want any of the naturopathic physicians out there to take this the wrong way, because a lot of you are my friends and I love you dearly and I love the profession, but I just find that the patients who walk into my office from seeing an ND have got, you know, this long list of stuff and they're trying to treat every vitamin deficiency known to man and then, you know, every layer of, you know, imbalance without finding like the true root issue. And if we just find the root cause and then create our plan around that, then it's much more direct. Hopefully you're not on a million things and it's much, you know, hopefully the results are much faster as well.
For Absolutely. Sure. So talk to that a little bit about the idea of, you know, treating the root cause, because for a lot of people, it's a new concept, I guess, something that Chinese medicine has been, you know, founded upon. Can you talk a little bit more about it?
Yeah. I mean, that's where I learned about treating the root cause was from Chinese medicine, because of its beautiful ability to look at patterns and put those patterns together and then see an underlying cause for what the problem is. And so we are trained, you know, in the Western mind frame of treating a symptom with a medication or a vitamin or whatever it might be. And so we get caught up in this one for one thing. And then in Chinese medicine, and for the most part in functional medicine as well, it's ideally looking at that root base of the true underlying cause and reason for the issue, basically the why behind everything, and treating that. That's not always the easiest to come up with, right, and figure out, but once you do, you can really get to the heart, and you can see such profound change in someone when you do that, because you've really gotten to the core issue. Now, some of those core issues might be physical, some of those might be emotional or a blend of it all, but it's looking at those core issues really is what you want to address.
Smart. Agreed. Smart medicine.
What about, I mean, I smart
medicine. Of course you're going to say that. It's smart medicine too.
I'm not biased. What are you talking about? Not at all. I just really like this idea of coming back to what you were talking about initially, about just taking the pressure off of a woman and her partner, or, you know, whoever is involved with in the fertility journey that this particular person's on, because it just is so overwhelming. And that's what I remember most about working with people who were on a fertility journey and trying to figure out how to get pregnant or have a healthy baby, was that it's just so all consuming. And so I'm just curious about how, you know, how you help people, how do you help take the pressure off? Because that part, I think it just, you kind of become one tracked and there's a lot of tunnel vision, and this is all you can focus on. And it's, you know, really, really frustrating for so many people.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I think what we forget in all of this is when we're talking about fertility is that fertility going through, or let me step back. Having or making the choice, hopefully as a couple, to have a family or grow your family is not typically a logical decision. It's an emotional one, right? You want to procreate, you want to share your family genes and, you know, have someone to teach and so forth. And so it's not a logical decision. If it was logical, you know, half the world wouldn't have kids, if not more. So
we're in the middle of school holidays. Yeah.
Can we talk about that, please? That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah. Well, we're, like I said, we're in the middle of summer holidays, and I can tell you logic. Yes. That if I had that perspective and logic, that would be a little bit different in the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so, but we digress.
Yeah. So it's an emotional thing. And so because it's so emotionally charged, when you walk into your OB's office and they say, okay, this is what the tests show, or this is what the next step is, we're going to start you with Clomid, and or then they progress you on to the fertility clinic, and the fertility clinic says, okay, this is what you have to do next. Everyone's just saying yes, 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 because they just so desperately want to have that child. Mm-hmm. So they're just agreeing, for the most part, right? I'm making generalizations, but they're just agreeing with the doctors and the path that they're leading you on versus being an active participant in that process and being able to take a step back and digest everything and ask really intelligent questions about the process. And so that's really one of the things that I do with patients is look at that whole plan. And a lot of times it's about drawing lines in the sand, making timelines for ourselves. So that way we're not, you know, just going with the wind and being pushed or pulled in whatever direction that, you know, whatever fertility clinic or OB thinks that is best for us. Now, that might be the best option. I'm not saying it's not, but in general, I think it's important for us to not just go haphazardly through that without a plan on our own. And that's where sitting down with a couple and having conversation about where they both want to go, what they're both okay with, and to what extent they're okay going down that road, and where are they okay drawing the line. Doesn't mean the line can't get erased and moved, right? It just means that it gives us a place and a time in the future to reassess, redigest, and look at where they're at, and then understand, you know, and then sit down and have another conversation about what's the best way to move forward. And so I think that's really one of the more powerful things about a plan, aside from hopefully being effective and clear and saving people time and money. You know, I think that plan allows them to also kind of blend the logical and the emotional as they kind of filter through all the fertility stuff that gets thrown at them.
That's wonderful.
I agree. Like
that's so helpful for people to hear that.
I think it's tricky too, though, Mark. Where do you, and it comes down to patient by patient, because obviously some patients benefit from a tighter schedule and others benefit from something that's a little bit more loose. And I think that, you know, it's about working out, as I'm sure you'd agree, what's appropriate for each individual case. But I mean, bottom line, those that plan succeed, right? If we have a plan in place, we've got a much more likely chance of, you know, success in whatever that might be. I find the only place that people don't generally have a plan is when it comes to their health. Everything else we plan for, when it comes to our health, we don't generally have any, the majority of us don't have goals that we're working towards that are actually mapped out. Like we might be like, oh yeah, I'm going to get more fit or I'm going to be able to do whatever, but we don't look at it in the same way that we might say budget for a holiday or buy a new house.
Well, I mean, with our health too, we take it for granted until we aren't healthy anymore. And we all, I mean, and that's the same with fertility, right? I mean, nobody really thinks about it. Very few people, at least I've come across, will even think about it until it's time to have a baby. And I think that's something that we really, well, we're all working to reverse that mindset, but it is very prevalent.
Yeah. And I think that's where, I'm going to say the work that both of you are doing right now with allowing women to focus on their periods and making them more aware of that. I mean, I do that as well, but you both are definitely focused in that area more than I am. And, you know, making women at such a young age realize that there's more than what's being taught to them or what's not being taught to them in school, and you know where the importance lies there, I think will play huge dividends in the future, because they're going to be more apt to notice that something's off and then take action much sooner than, you know, someone who says, oh yeah, you know, I'm 35 and I've known I've had this for so long, but my OB just said, go on the pill, and that's all I needed to do.
For sure. Yeah, it's so frustrating because there are, I mean, I think more and more health professionals are getting on the same page when it comes to fertility, but there's still a lot that resist that. And I find that, especially when it comes to even assisted conception, you know, that we can kind of think that the health can take a backseat and that the whatever you're doing to work towards that, you know, from a assisted conception point of view is priority. And it's like, well, no, it all has to work together. You can't just switch one off and then expect everything else to work. So I guess in that vein, you know, we know that lots of things need to come together for fertility to be improved. What are some of the main things that you would focus on with your patients?
Well, certainly, you know, when I look at things, obviously, we've already mentioned that, you know, I use acupuncture and Chinese medicine in the practice. So that's always going to be a big part of how I look at patients and diagnose patients and then create a plan, you know, based on that portion of things, but it's also all the other things that patients do at home that, you know, I don't have as direct contact with, but I can guide with, you know, I think is hugely important. So cleaning up their entire, I'll say lifestyle, if you will, right? You know, what's going on at home, their relationship with their partner, emotionally, where are they? What are they eating? We've already kind of mentioned supplements a little bit, but what are they taking in terms of supplements? What are they doing to, you know, basically nourish their bodies, their soul? Those are the sorts of things. We have to look at all of those things. You know, I think for some, there might be one thing that turns the key, right, and opens the door. But I think for the majority of people, it's a combination of things, because we're so complex and we're so unique and individualized, each one of us, that we all have our special formula. And, you know, what is that going to look like? Is going to be different for each one of us. But to talk about nutrition or diet just for a moment, I think it's really interesting that we have all of these huge fad nutritions that I'll call them fads, but some of them stick around, that get cycled around, right? Because they make it seem like everybody should be on that diet, right? That's the diet that's fit for, you know, the entire world, which is not really true, because we're all unique, individualized, and we've all come from different backgrounds and cultures. So our diet needs to be different based on that. You know, maybe there's some overarching themes that need to be looked at, but there's no one size fits all when it comes to diet. And so, you know, what's the big craze now is all the whole paleo movement, which I love, don't get me wrong, but I think that it's not for everyone, or it shouldn't be as strict for everyone. And there needs to be a little bit more flexibility and fluidity in how that gets mapped out. And that's really what makes these plans that anyone's going to make, whether it's going to be you, Nat, or myself or Nicole, it's like the plans need to be individualized for the person who's sitting in front of you and their needs and the way they present to you on that at that moment.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's so important. I know you're a wild fan of looking at not only the physical but the emotional aspect of fertility and health. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because for some people, there is a complete disconnect, and there's a lot of, without being rude, there are a lot of people in denial when it comes to the fact that their emotions could be impacting their fertility. I guess it's frightful for some people to learn that that could be the case. Do you want to share a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's scary, right? Because then you start to realize that you have more control than you think you did on yourself or your world. Or I think it's really an empowering thing if you could realize that you have the control that you do. I think it should be more than anything, not scary, but empowering. And it's a difficult thing to harness and take some time to get to wrap your head around, as we talk about mental things. But you know, looking at the emotional side of things, we have to be confident and clear with ourselves and take time for ourselves to listen to our bodies, especially women. I think more so than men. You know, they call it women's intuition for a reason, right? You know, we need to sit down and take some time to look at ourselves and digest what we're feeling and what it means for us, and then take that and use that as power to make change in our life. I had a patient last week who we were talking about this same thing, and she said, well, you know, what can I do to start to deal with the emotional side of things? And I said, you know, I think the thing that gets misunderstood when people start talking about meditation is that we think we need to be to sit quiet and make sure we have no thoughts in our head. So we're sitting there, you know, maybe for an hour or whatever it might be, 30 minutes, if you're lucky enough to do that. And you're the whole time you're telling yourself, I can't think about anything. I can't think about anything. I need to clear my mind. I need to clear my mind. And it's really not a productive experience unless you're, you know, an avid meditator. So one of the things that I encourage her to do, which I like to talk to patients about, is listen to what your body's telling you. Don't ignore your thoughts, but listen to them. And, you know, try not to have a running to-do list of what you need to do when you're done with your meditation. But outside of that, try to listen to what your body's telling you. And I think the best way to do that is to ask a question. So before you sit down and give yourself a little space with yourself, ask yourself a question that you want answered during that time. And I say sitting down because I think that's what we all associate with meditation. But for me, it actually works best if I go walking by myself. So, you know, you could be moving the same way, but ask yourself a question, you know, what do I need most right now? Or what do I think the next step in my fertility process is? Or, you know, whatever question that you think you need to have answered, inherently, I think we all know what it is. And I think we need to look and tune into the emotional side of what we know is true and what our body is telling us. And I oftentimes think it really starts with asking ourselves the right question and then giving ourselves the space to hear the answer that that comes from it.
Oh, I really love this so much because I think that this is really a hugely overlooked aspect of fertility. And I think so much of one of the reasons why, obviously, is it's so ingrained in our society, right, that your emotions don't have anything to do with your physical health. And secondly, like you said, you know, you are kind of forced then to take responsibility and for your emotional health. And that can feel really hard because I think that a lot of people then tend to think, oh, well, they blame themselves for screwing something up. And or at least that tends to be the first reaction that I've witnessed. And that can really suck, obviously, if you're already struggling with fertility. So I really appreciate you talking about that. And, you know, I'm also really interested in hearing about, like, the physical side of things, like, in terms of supercharging your fertility. Like, what does that start with? What do we do?
Yeah, you know, I want to mention one other thing before we get there is also think, and I won't spend a lot of time on it, but I do think emotionally, each person in this relationship, each, you know, partner in the relationship who have made the choice to start a family need to be on the same page. I can't tell you how often find out that they never even discussed having children. And like my wife and I had a long conversation about having kids and what was that going to look like. And to hear that others basically, you know, it's great, go ahead and have fun sex, that's awesome, but, you know, are not thinking about what that really means beyond that and bringing a life into this world and how that's going to change your relationship. So I think emotionally, you know, it's really important for both to be on the same page and going through the process in the same way, because one person might say, yes, I'm okay going through IVF. The other person says, no, I don't even want kids, right? You know, so.
Totally. I say this.
And they don't even talk about it. Yeah.
The amount of people that I have seen try and fall pregnant and then obviously for whatever reason they stop coming and then they come back maybe 2 years later and they've got a different partner and they fall pregnant first or second month that they've been trying. I think it's, you know, if that discussion hasn't taken place, there's a fair chance that there's other issues within the relationship, unfortunately. And I think that quite often, you know, there's something else going on that's actually preventing that pregnancy from happening. Your body is super smart. If it cannot see that it is able to do something, it won't do it. And I know that there's other people who say, oh, well, there's, you know, people out there that drink and smoke and do all the wrong things that definitely don't want to have babies. But I think the problem becomes that we're so focused on whatever these other issues are that are going on in our lives that we're not talking about apples and oranges.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the physical things that we could do to charge our fertility to start doing that.
Yeah. I mean, I always come back to when I start looking at patients and starting with the physical side of things, I always want to start with testing. And, you know, there's a lot of controversy when it comes to doing lab work and testing, you know, how much is too much? Where do you start? Is it really necessary? Certainly from a Chinese medical perspective, I think some of what's done from a functional medical side of things is not necessary, but I think there's a lot that can really be gleaned from it. And, you know, getting the proper information. I couldn't tell you how often someone walks into my office and says, yeah, my fertility doctor OB said they've done all the testing that they needed to do and everything looks normal.
Like, what about the classic one? My husband has had his sperm tested and it's perfect.
And it's perfect, right.
I hear that a lot too.
Oh my goodness, what is perfect? I'm like, okay, tell me about this perfect sperm. And then you look at the result and... let's be honest, 4% are swimming in the right direction and 96% are heading south. Like it doesn't, no, it's not perfect.
No. You know, but they still like to call it super sperm.
Yes! And then the male's like, I'm awesome, and it's all her. And it's like, no, dude.
No. That's not the case.
Super sperm. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Anyways, yes. Carry on. So
that definitely has to be part of the mix, is getting, you know, a good, real assessment, semen analysis, but also just doing, you know, real testing on someone. You know, I don't know about in Australia right now what's going on, but here they're really – you walk into an office, they ask you your age, and they'll run AMH, anti-Müllerian hormone test, and that's about it. You know, me neither. Yeah. Oof. So maybe they run some other things, but you know, it's really incomplete, and they're only because they're, you know, such specialists in the reproductive area, they're only looking there and they ignore everything else that's going on in the body at a detriment. And so you really need to take a good look at the entire body, have a more complete image of what's going on. But just like kind of as you alluded to, Nat, you know, the lab tests are not everything either. They just give you a picture of what's going on. Is it the end all be all? No, but is it an important piece that gives you information so that it can help guide the treatment plan? Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with that totally. Having said that, I think it's the more that you're in treatment and, you know, especially from a TC or Chinese medicine perspective, you know, you get very clever at seeing what's going on as well.
Yeah.
And that can be hard to explain to a patient. And I'm sure you see this too, Nicole, and you see the same thing over and over and over again. It becomes very obvious, signs and symptoms become very obvious and stand out. And sometimes I'll be able to look at someone and go, oh, yeah, well, I know where to start there. And then, you know, you're using all of these other things to confirm that. But then also sometimes you don't get test results that confirm that. And then what do you do, Mark? What I'd love to know what you do in that situation. Do you go with what a test result says or do you go with what signs and symptoms are telling you?
Oh, I go with signs and symptoms. Yeah, so I say to patients, look, I'm hoping to go, when we get these results, that it's confirming what I see, which would be great. And oftentimes they need that, right? They need to see it on those labs to feel like, okay, yeah, we've got an answer, so to speak. But, you know, oftentimes it comes back and they're totally normal, right? And so then or all the lab work looks normal, I should say. And so, you know, I say to them, I'd always prefer to have the lab work look normal than abnormal. I mean, for me, in the end, that always seems easier to address. Mm-hmm. But that's always where you come back to signs and symptoms. And kind of on the flip side of what you said, Nat, then they always ask me, okay, so let's just say we do labs and they look abnormal and then we start treatment. They say to me, okay, so when are we going to rerun those labs? I say, well, I'm not sure I want to rerun those labs. I mean, the most important thing for me is that your signs and symptoms clear up, that you're feeling good, that you're feeling different, that you're feeling complete, right? And if you're feeling those things, I'm happy to run the tests to confirm that. But, you know, I don't necessarily need to as long as we're seeing the results that we want to see. So I think it goes both ways as well.
Yeah, sure. I agree.
Yeah,
absolutely. We can keep on talking.
I'm sure we can.
We're going to run out of time because, wow, we're all just happy days here, aren't we? But before we have to say goodbye, would you like to tell our listeners where they can find you?
Sure. You can find me online at my website, marksklar.com. MarkSklar. Also, I am on Instagram and Facebook as the Fertility Expert. You can find me there. And I love to post all sorts of hopefully fun and useful videos on YouTube. So I've got a Fertility TV YouTube channel as well.
So awesome. Something for everybody. There's no excuse. So, thanks so much for joining us. Obviously, you know, like I said, we could keep on talking forever, but this is actually probably going to cut down on us. So for those of you who are needing more, go and check out Mark and his wonderful work. And for everybody who is a regular, don't forget to join us again next time for more Girl Talk Gone Menstrual. But if you are in the meantime wanting more, don't be shy. Head on over to iTunes and check out all of the Period of Party episodes. What did we count, Nicole? There's 70-something of them. There's loads.
74.
So that's right.
After March.
And nice. don't forget to take a few seconds to rate us. But we are out of time. So thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next time.